The David Brudnoy Show.
We are now looking at flames shooting out of the north side of number one World Trade Center, but there are at least some windows blown out and smoke billowing out of the opposite side. We have not been able to get to the south side of the building yet. We're sort of staying right
here. We have been in touch with the leaders of Congress and with world leaders to assure them that we will do what is whatever is necessary.
It sounded like a fabulous explosion, and indeed there is a great devastation up there.
Freedom itself was attacked this morning by a faceless coward. And freedom will be defended. The United States will hunt down and punish those responsible for these cowardly acts.
WBZ News Radio, 1030.
Rhetoric fails one. The events speak for themselves, and we'll talk about those events tonight. I'm David Brudnoy. We're going to be interspersing news accounts as they develop with you and also with the few people who know whereof they speak. I hope that during the course of the evening you will join me in adding your thoughts to what for every American is the most astounding act of our lifetimes in terms of the most horrific loss of life on our shore since the Civil War back in the 1860s, the most unprecedented attack on both our system of business and our system of military preparedness, the two prime icons of American business, the World Trade Center, the tallest structures in the Western Hemisphere until 9:45 this morning when they evanesced, and of course the Pentagon. We have a government that is currently en route to the White House, back to where the president belongs, a White House otherwise denuded of personnel, save for the vice president and a few support staff, a Pentagon which was itself attacked with a loss of life as yet untold, and with loss of life in New York City that perhaps has gone into the quintuple digits, and we don't know exactly how many, and we will probably never know fully. We're going to look at these matters tonight, and we're going to talk very briefly with a variety of people who, as I said, can give us perspective from their own understanding. Colonel David Hackworth, who, as you know, is not only the most decorated Vietnam veteran, but also a military strategist and analyst for many, many years, joins us briefly tonight to tell us about what kind of military reaction the United States can do, knowing at the moment only that some concerted efforts have succeeded in this horrific act of barbarism against the American people. We do not yet have a target by name and by face. We have a concept of international terrorism designed to destroy the bastion of freedom in the world, the most free, successful, and happy nation on earth. They despise us for our success, for our freedom, for our openness and our tolerance and our understanding. They want to inflict upon the world the terror and the rigidity that they have exercised over various places. We believe, we assume there's a connection here between Osama bin Laden or the Taliban or perhaps Iran or perhaps Iraq. We don't know, but we know that ultimately their goals are the same, and that is to terrify the world into conformity and to enslave people under the guise that they and they alone know what God wants. They are very dangerous, as all fanatics are. And as we can see, they have struck in the belly of our nation. They have threatened to do so, and they have done so. Nothing like this has ever happened. And even the ghastly attack on the Murrah Federal Office Building, government building in Oklahoma City, with a loss of fewer than 100 lives and considerable damage, pales into insignificance in terms of the death toll from what happened today. Nothing again like this has ever happened, and may it never happen again. But what do we do? Colonel Hackworth joins us tonight. Hack, great to have you with us. I'm sorry that on a night like this we're talking about something as saddening and horrible as this. Dave, what do we do? What can we do?
First of all, we have to analyze what happened to us. And we were the victims of a massive, coordinated attack that was, unfortunately for us, on the receiving end, brilliantly executed. This is not another Pearl Harbor. It is far worse than Pearl Harbor. Our casualties will be far more, much higher than Pearl Harbor. And I hope that this will be a wake-up call for America, that this terrorism is a new form of war. It's a form of war that's been around a long time, but it's come back with great gusto because it's a little guy taking on the big guy with all of his missiles and all of his defense shields, and we can't stop him. And it's an enemy that's fighting from the shadows. And the way to fight this guy is through great intelligence ability to find out what he's doing before he strikes us, and having a very strong defense force centered around the FBI. And what I've been talking about, David, for at least 10 years on a public forum and speeches and writing and so on, is just this, that terrorism's the new face of war, and I can't get it through to the people in the Pentagon and in the White House and the rest of our national security apparatus who have their head firmly in a very dark place and don't understand that B-2 bombers and defense shields and fleets of Abrams tanks are not the key to fighting this new face of war.
What is the key to fighting a war that comes on little cat's feet while we're not watching, that can plant a bomb on the body of a person as they do in Israel when they want to destroy children and terrorize a population, that can seize a plane owing to the laughably insecure security at airports, which are so abysmally ridiculous as to have allowed what obviously was something of an inside job? What do we then do, given that we can't go bomb the world? We have to find a way to cut off the terrorists at their knees and somehow to dissuade them from believing they can continue to do this, or presumably they could do it again tomorrow and the next day and the next.
And they can. And I must say that I've lived with terrorism all of my military life, which goes back to 1945, and I saw it throughout the Vietnam War and then around the world since. And the key to it is having a really first-class intelligence activity that is in the enemy's camp, that's got human intelligence, not as America's dependent upon all their high-tech eyes in the spy, but has people breaking bread with the enemy chieftain as he's planning his operation, and then having a strong defense force on the ground in the form of the FBI, backed up by all of the other activities, the intelligence activities, the fire departments, the police departments, the military, all working together in one team, pulling the rope in the same place. And I'm afraid that's what we've not had in the USA, and that's what we're going to have to get, and realize that this is the future, and we must be able to preempt it. To win against terrorism, you don't react. You have to act before the terrorist acts.
We have reports that there are explosions in Kabul, Afghanistan. No one knows if those explosions are some form of internal rebellion, unlikely, or bonfires going up to celebrate the wonderfulness of the killing of great numbers of Americans. Or could it possibly be that we have already reacted by some retaliation against what we presume is, at least if not the font of, then the nest securing the font of these terrorist activities? I mean, you're speculating here, but your speculation is far more valid than mine. Could these reports of explosions in Kabul have indicated an almost instantaneous American reaction?
I think that would be premature. I think probably if these reports are in fact accurate, it may be people celebrating what happened to America today, as they have been in Palestine. We did this, kind of a knee-jerk thing, when our embassies were struck a couple years ago in Africa. We launched cruise missiles at what turned out to be a vitamin factory in Sudan, and also hit Osama bin Laden's training camp and base camp in Afghanistan. And we finally concluded that didn't do the job. What we have to do is, first of all, take care of our wounded and do triage. Get our wounded and dead out of there and buried, and then do detection work, and after the detection work, ending up with some fingerprints, David, and then launch a counterattack, be it with a powerful force. My thought is that what we're going to see is the international community come together, the Chinese, the Red Chinese, the Russians, the Americans, everyone that's been kind of yelling at each other lately, come together and say, this terrorism cannot stand. And if a country like Afghanistan wants to be the host of to a terrorist like Osama bin Laden, if they, through diplomatic means, do not want to turn him over, then they have to be considered an enemy and a declaration of war go down, and then take them out.
Colonel David Hackworth, thank you for joining us. I know we'll talk again over the years, Hack, and it's been great to have you here.
Well, I'm sorry it's on such a dark day.
Thank you very much, sir. Thank you. Attorney General Ashcroft is speaking. We're carrying him now live.
Responsible for these acts, these crimes, to justice. Now is the time for us to come together as a nation to offer our support, our prayers for victims and for their families, for the rescue workers, for law enforcement officials, for every one of us that has been changed forever by this horrible tragedy. The following is a summary of the known facts surrounding today's incidents. American Airlines Flight 11 departed Boston for Los Angeles, hijacked by suspects armed with knives. This plane crashed into the World Trade Center. United Airlines Flight 175 departed Boston for Los Angeles, was hijacked and crashed into the World Trade Center. American Airlines Flight 77 departed Washington Dulles for Los Angeles, was hijacked and crashed into the Pentagon. United Airlines Flight 93 departed Newark for San Francisco, was hijacked and crashed in Shanksville, Pennsylvania. Crime scenes have been established by the federal authorities in New York, in Washington, D.C. area, in Pittsburgh, in Boston, and in Newark. The full resources of the Department of Justice, including the Federal Bureau of Investigation, the Immigration and Naturalization Service, the U.S. Attorney's Offices, the U.S. Marshals Service, the Bureau of Prisons, the Drug Enforcement Administration, and the Office of Justice Programs are being deployed to investigate these crimes and to assist survivors and victim families. Thousands of FBI agents in all of the field offices across the country and in the international LEGAT offices, assisted by personnel from other Department of Justice agencies, are cooperating in this investigation. The FBI has established a website where people can report any information about these crimes. That address is www.ifccfbi.gov. That address again, www.ifccfbi.gov. Individuals can report any information they know about these crimes to that website. It takes courage for individuals to come forward in situations like this, and I urge anyone with information that may be useful and helpful to authorities to use this opportunity. The Office of Victims of Crime has established a toll-free 800 number for family and friends of victims. They can call 800-331-0075 to leave contact information for a future time when more information is available, to find out information about a victim, or to find out information about the rights of victims and the services available to victim survivors and victim families. The determination of these terrorists will not deter the determination of the American people. We are survivors, and freedom is a survivor. A free American people will not be intimidated, nor will we be defeated. We will find the people responsible for these cowardly acts, and justice will be done. Tommy.
Every single American lost something today.
This is Tommy Thompson, Secretary of Health and Human Services.
At this time, expresses our deepest sympathy to the victims of today's tragedies and their families. It is now our mission to begin the healing from this tragedy. From the moment that we learned of these attacks, the Department of Health and Human Services has begun readying teams and resources to be sent to New York City and the Washington area to meet any needs of state and local officials. So far, we have sent 4 disaster medical teams to New York City and 3 of these disaster medical teams to the Washington, Northern Virginia, Baltimore area. These medical teams each consists of about 35 physicians, nurses, and emergency medical technicians. They are all trained to deal with traumatic injuries and other emergency needs. We've also sent disaster mortuary operational response teams to New York and 3 to the greater Washington area. We're also in the process of shipping a great deal of emergency medical supplies to New York City with the help of the Centers for Disease Control. In short, we're making the full force of the Department of Health and Human Services, both its resources and medical expertise, available to the areas that need our assistance. We've also this afternoon activated the United States Public Health Service Commission Corps, which consists of approximately 6,000 health professionals. We also are giving backup assistance to the 500-bed ship Comfort from the United States Navy. Americans all over are calling up and asking what they can do. The best thing they can do is respond to this great call by volunteering to give blood. We need Americans to continue to answer that call. No matter where you live, please do your civic duty and assist us by donating blood. It is our primary job is to make sure Americans harmed by this tragedy get the help that they need. We will remain in constant contact with the governors, the mayors, public health officials, and other local officials to make sure that all their needs are being met. It is a sad day, but America and all of its citizens certainly share tonight in the grief that has been caused. And as the president and everybody in his administration have said, we, the government, will continue to operate and continue to provide the services to all Americans.
Secretary Thompson, we're going to go to your calls on David Brunner, our number 617-254-1030. We're going to go commercial-free tonight, so we will have many more opportunities to talk with you. Please, if you want to get it off your chest, do it now and do it here. Don't sit around and look at the mirror. Talk with us. Stan, good evening. You're on WBZ. Hello.
Yeah, hi, David.
Good evening, Stan.
How are you tonight? I'm just on my way home south on Route 3. The major thing that concerns me from speaking with people today, obviously, the act was terrible, and it has to be dealt with, but I'm very concerned with people's reaction. I'm in the financial services industry, and I was actually in a meeting with a gentleman who's 83 years old, who remembers Pearl Harbor and is from that generation who remembers the different catastrophes. And the thing that concerns me is the office that I work for wanted everybody to go home and decided that they wanted to close. We were in a suburb because they were all very upset. And to me, I refused to go home. I refused to change exactly what I was doing because I believe that that's the whole concept of what's behind this, to try to disrupt everything. And I'm just very concerned when I speak with people now who are concerned about going back to work again tomorrow, and just the basic psychology behind it, because this is the big part that's played on. And I had to get that off my chest, because it's not only the act, but it's the fear of the act that I feel causes a great amount of problems as well.
I think you're right. The people have to get back into it. The airlines have to open tomorrow, the banks, the stock market, the baseball games, and so on. In other words, we have to return. But the day of, as this thing occurs, people were in shock, jolted, furious, frightened. In a sense, sometimes the best thing to do is to decelerate for a few hours. Get out of work if you can. Government closed at every level throughout the land. Flags are at half-mast. In other words, what we're dealing with is a kind of almost a shocking awareness of how vulnerable we are. And I think a few hours away from the humdrum of the ordinary is not a bad thing. But I think I'm entirely with you that tomorrow everybody goes back to work and we get on with it. We want to show whoever has done this that we're not going to be taken off of our course of ordinary business and involvement and all of our institutions. Actually, the stores stay open because, God forbid, somebody shouldn't be able to buy a shirt. That stays open all day long, but everything else closed today. The movie theaters closed, and virtually everything except bars and stores closed. And that indicates, again, our priorities, which is get a drink and buy something. And tomorrow, it seems to me, we've got to get back in the mainstream. Stan, thank you very much. We'll move on. We're going to take short calls tonight. We want to get reactions like Stan's from you. And I'll have a few things to say as we go along in the course of the evening. I, like you, have been thinking about this all day long. From morning on, just before beginning class this morning, our administrative assistant pulled me into the chairman's office at BU and said, look at this. And we did. And class ended a little bit early, and we went into the conference room at BU, the student lounge, many of the students, and we watched for a while. And everybody's been doing nothing but thinking about it today. Perhaps we're thinking irrationally, perhaps we're thinking too excitedly, but we are not passive, we are not mundane about this, we are not taking this as if it's an ordinary day. Nothing like this has ever happened on this scale, and it's worth getting something before the rest of us. Here's a good opportunity to do it. Dan, good evening. You're on WBZ. Thank you for calling.
Hi, David.
Hi, Dan.
I just want to let you know, I think our security is real lax. I came through the Canadian Customs today, U.S. Customs, at approximately noontime, and I was not questioned other than the fact that what I was up in Montreal bar, and that was it.
They didn't open your trunk and look to see if you were carrying in fertilizer mixed with igniting things, did they?
Nothing, no, and no, they didn't check the car in front of me, and I actually had no idea what had happened until 20 minutes before I got to the border.
We have the longest unsecured border in the world between Canada and the United States because we have such a peaceful and wonderful relationship, the two countries. And we don't want to turn it into a border in which we've got guards there and barbed wire and so on. We've closed the Mexican border, not because Mexicans are evil, but because it's an awareness that the porousness of our southern border, and the fact that these millions of illegal aliens just slip right in, and big business harbors them, and the president and his moronic approach to suck up to every Hispanic he can says basically we'll make you citizens or the functional equivalent thereof. We know that bad guys can get in through Mexico, put on a sombrero instead of a turban, and, you know, walk across the Rio Grande, and there you are. But we may have to close the Canada border, too, and that would be a terrible thing given the decades of good relations that the United States and Canada have had. Nobody's blaming Canadians. It's just, as you say, the porousness of the border, the ease with which you passed through, and you could have been carrying horrible things and been a terrorist. You know, if you don't look the part, they don't treat you like one who looks the part. And who walks around looking like a terrorist? You know, we don't do that. So there you are.
What I found strange, David, is the two gentlemen in front of me, I believe they might have been holistic Jewish men.
Yeah, maybe.
And they made the driver get out of the car, but they did no search, and they no ID.
Well, they may have simply assumed that there was nothing there. In other words, the standard procedure, and I haven't crossed the Canada border in a long time, but I have in the past, many times in the past. It's an easy thing because the assumption is, and it has fairly been an assumption that we can rely on, nothing bad is going to happen in the overwhelming bulk of the cases. They look for druggies. They look for people who may have a car that looks so banged up and the driver may look so stoned that they assume something bad. But if you look like an ordinary businessman, you're coming through, or your family, they're not going to waste a lot of time checking with you. And the problem is that coming into this country is so easy. And as we know, our danger has come from people who are here. They may have come in yesterday, or they may have been here for decades. That's the most frightening thought, is that some of this horribleness may be people who are, in fact, longtime residents, even citizens, perhaps native-born citizens. Remember, the last terrible act, until this, the worst terrible act, was homegrown, good-looking, Boy Scout, war veteran, nice guy, turned into a mass killer, Timothy McVeigh. You know, we wanted to believe it was from without, and it turned out to be a sort of homegrown American a blue-eyed ordinary American, and there it was. And this is what is so frightening to people, is that we don't know whence it has come, and we may strike out unreasonably and start sort of, you know, demonizing people who look different, as we did in 1979 when people beat up Arabs, assuming that, well, if you're from the Middle East, you're an Iranian. Arabs and Iranians are not the same at all. But a lot of Arabs were beaten up badly, and owing to that. Thank you very much for the call, Dan. We're going to take a little update on news, and we will get right back to you after that on number 254-1030, area code 617.
You're listening to live continuing coverage. Attack on the World Trade Center and the Pentagon. This is News Radio 1030 WBZ, Boston.